Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
High school is not free in Kenya, East Africa. As well as tuition fees, families must find money for uniforms, including shoes, textbooks, calculators, dictionaries, pens, pencils, and more. For poor, rural families earning the equivalent of $2 to $3 a day, this is often an impossible challenge. Will you help educate bright, very poor Kenyan youth to help them find a road out of poverty for their families? Just $50 a month will allow that to happen. Gifts of smaller amounts can be combined to give youth a chance through KEEF, the Kenya Education Endowment Fund, a registered, BC-based, volunteer-run educational charity. Tax-deductible receipts are available. Donations make great gifts for Christmas, graduation, anniversaries, promotions, etc. Gift cards are available. More information at www.kenyaeducation.org, or you can call us at 604-415-9397, day or evening.
Thank you.
get up, cause we're moving in. Coming in high in the screws cabin. Say what you want, but my style's fresh to me. Straight off the rack and it only costs a toony. See me on the drop with my girls, we chillin'. See me in the club with my boys, how feeling. We walking in, we not paying. We do our thing in voicemailing, yeah.
Hey, the groove in my body.
Stop the groove in my body. just wanna dance with you.
Hello, we are back. This is Word on the Street. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM on the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Last week we talked about drug culture and music. If you want to check that out, then you can check that out from last week. Just go on to CITR.ca, look up Word on the Street. And today we're going to be talking about some historical album art, or why we like that art, or anything about album art, really. So does anyone want to kick us off with something that caught their eye first time they listened to it? Anyone?
Girl, I miss you. Miss our rhythm.
I'm sorry, go again.
Hello. An interesting thing about album art has been how it has been censored in the past. Like, I'm sorry that I constantly bring up the Strokes, but the cover for their first album, Is This It? Like, the American version is this, like, strong, astronomical, cool, colorful thing, but the original version is just, like, this girl with a gloved hand on her butt, like, on her hip. But it's, like, almost a butt. So, you know, states went crazy and they censored it. But in Europe, they didn't really care. I feel like there's been a lot of interesting cases in the past with album censorship. Are there any ones that people are interested in?
Yeah, for sure. And the states has had a kind of a rough history with censorship. And one of the biggest examples of that was My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, when the original art was super explicit, and I'm not saying it shouldn't have been censored because it's pretty explicit. If you know the art, you know what I'm talking about. There are actually about, I think, eight artwork pieces for this album, but this one was made specifically to be a little bit controversial. That's according to the artist George Kondo, who's a great artist, and Kanye apparently went to his apartment and they just listened to music and painted being Kanye probably just told him what to do for about like 8 or 9 hours, he said. So, basically when it was on sale, the vinyl version, Kanye noticed in Walmart that it was censored first in Walmart, and then he tweeted with a whole bunch of exclamation marks saying they banned my album cover in the USA, in Walmart, they don't want me chilling on the couch with my phoenix. If you know the original version, it's like the woman has wings. And yeah, and I mean, he was saying how after that, like, how it's like, if Nirvana's Nevermind album can have the photograph of a naked baby, why can't he have that photograph as well? And there's a couple of reasons why, but I don't know, that was an interesting one. But you know, Kanye, he just made an argument straight out without thinking of it too much.
I mean, it just looks like really, like, explicitly sexual, whereas nobody would ever view a baby that way. Like, there's quite a few differences, Jack. But
that's not me, that's Kanye.
Yeah. But I love what he did with it, whereas, like, I didn't even realize that this art, which is, like, two people, like, on a couch, was two people on a couch, because it's just pixelated, which is, like, an interesting response. Like, he kept that, like, part of the story there, which is that he was told to censor it out as part of the album art.
Yeah, if you watch the short film for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, it kind of puts the whole thing into perspective, because his girlfriend is like a bird pretty much in the short film. And it's really interesting because it really puts that album as like a visual thing that's actually like a narrative in context, as opposed to just listening to it. And it's really funny because he's sitting at the table. If you've seen the Runaway music video, he's sitting at that same table, and then this guy turns to him and he says, your girlfriend is beautiful, man, but did you notice she's a bird? And then he kind of is like, what the? And then he like steps back and he goes on the piano and he starts playing Runaway, and it all clicks together. Just speaking of the Nevermind cover, I didn't know this until just now, but I was reading about the history of the cover. So if you've seen the cover, it's pretty iconic. It's pretty memorable. It's this baby swimming in the water, and then there's a hook from a fishing rod, and there's a dollar bill attached. And I was just reading how this came up, or how this came about. And so I don't know how Kurt Cobain got the picture, but or how he got the idea for the picture, but they talked to the baby when he was older, and like his opinion on it. So it was interesting. So like the designer showed him the picture, and then Kurt Cobain was like, oh, I like this, but it's missing something. And then the whole idea is that the baby's swimming, and he's only 4 months old in this picture, and his name is Spencer Eldon, and it was his first time swimming, and he's like on like one of the most famous album covers of all time. The whole thing is that the baby is juxtaposed beside the dollar bill, and it's like, this baby is so innocent, and here's like corporate America. And then years later, when he's not a baby anymore, he just said, most bands around today can't even think near to what Nirvana did on that album, and I'll always be happy to be a part of it. But just imagine being a baby, and you're like, everybody's seen you, but nobody knows it's you. So I just thought that was cool.
Yeah, speaking about that, Keith Roy Yearwood, which is a name not commonly known in households, is actually the model for the notorious B.I.G.'s Ready to Die, 1994. Mm-hmm. And while it's not confirmed officially, his mom has other baby photos of him, which are like, it's obviously the same baby. And he also came out and said it was him as well. Mm-hmm. And he made $150 from that shoot for 2 hours, $150. And that's it. I don't know if there's any other complications with what's happened afterwards, but that's what I've read over a couple of different articles, is that that was all he made. And I think he's 28 now.
That album made quite a bit of money.
just a little bit of money compared to
cut that. A little short.
Just a bit. But yeah, it's not always a happy story like the one you're talking about before. Like, he was proud. And obviously Keith Roy Yearwood is definitely happy to be a part of the movement that album was. But I'm not exactly sure. There's probably a little bit of tension there. Mm-hmm. Based on just the amount of money that's involved, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure. I mean, it's weird because when I was reading this, there was actually a bunch of different babies. Like, they had to audition, mm-hmm. and they're babies. I mean, they don't really audition. It's like, Kurt's probably just like, oh, yeah, we're this one. I like this one. But, yeah, like, that's so interesting how, like, on some covers, you know, there's, like, children, and no one has any idea who they are, but, like, these are people who... You know, if it's a big album and it's historical, like, they probably didn't get their money's worth because their parents just took them like, oh, this is a cool thing. Like, maybe Mike could be on this, you know. Anyone else want to put forth an album cover that they, yeah?
I just want to talk about Jack White's Boarding House Reach that he released. It's his newest album. And if you look at the cover, it's... kind of a weird face going on with like a sunbeam breaking out through these stormy clouds behind it. And it's kind of interesting because if you look at the face, if you look at, cover up from the nose to the mouth all the way down and just look at the eyes, it's actually Jack White's eyes and forehead that are superimposed on top of a female model. And he was saying to Rolling Stone that he did this because it's to represent not only the like trans, like the trans community and the fluid identity of some famous artists in the scene, but it was also to represent the fluidity of rock and roll and mm-hmm. how people's bands evolve over time. And so he was saying, it's me, but it's a different version of me. And mm-hmm. this album is my music, but it's a different version of my music. This isn't a White Stripes album. Yeah. It's a Jack White album. So I thought that was pretty cool how he fluidly superimposed his face on someone else.
For sure. I think playing off of that theme where the artwork represents sort of something that's unorthodox or something that's innovative about the genre. Back in 96 when Outkast was first breaking out, you probably know them for like Hey Ya or Roses or something like that. But before that, they're very like less pop rap and they're very like good MCs. But there is sort of this dilemma, if you came out of not New York or not LA, not one of the main places with hip hop, you were kind of like pushed back. You couldn't really break out.
Kind of an outcast.
Exactly.
Oh my,
makes sense,
my
right?
Goodness gracious. Oh. We're just really good at these Friday puns, aren't we?
Oh. I had to do it.
It's been a long week. So yeah, their album ATLians in 96, because they're from Atlanta, but the name and the artwork itself is Big Boy and Three Stacks sort of like fighting off all these other creatures around them. And I thought this was really interesting because they're trying to rep Atlanta. Like, Atlanta is very big with hip hop now, but they're saying if you're from Atlanta, you're alienated, you're isolated, you're an outcast, right? So why this is so important is because back in 95 at the Source Awards, they won Best New Artist for Hip Hop. And at the time, like I said, if you're from Atlanta, this is not okay. You know, you're not New York, you're not from LA. And they're actually booed. And then 3Stacks said the South got something to say. So I just thought it was really a great idea that they had already thought that out before they won the award. They already knew, okay, this is how we want to represent ourselves.
Yeah, and it's with album covers, you're basically just like making a composite of like, you know, different fine arts. Like you're putting that visual aspect into it, and moving across the genre here and talking about the Clash, London Calling, 1979. This one really depicted rock and roll like in one picture, and it was actually given the award for best album cover of the year by Q Magazine, and I think it was like fourth. Like most influential of all time by the same magazine, so they've been ranked very highly with that photo, because it shows basically, if you don't know the cover, it's the lead Paul Simonon, the bassist. He's smashing his guitar.
Wait, Paul Simeon.
Simeon, sorry, I knew I was gonna mispronounce it. I knew I was when I was reading it. I was like, I'm gonna mess this up. But all mispronunciations aside, yeah, and he's smashing the guitar, and then. There was some conflict with whether they're going to use the photo or not, because it was a little bit unfocused, which is what was mentioned in an interview. But they ended up using it, and it's made a massive impact.
Anyone on the right side want to say something?
I just find it interesting with album covers how they've kind of like declined in importance recently. Like before, you had to go to a store and buy an album. So when you saw the album, it needed to be like visually enticing. Mm-hmm. But now everything's online, so it's not really anything that needs to catch your eye for you to listen to it. You see your favorite artists and you listen to their album. So that's just like an interesting shift that I've noticed in the album cover.
Yeah, world. For sure. Like you see like Culture 2 and it's just like Migos standing there, or like a Drake album where he's just
the
sitting
new
there.
It's yeah. So bad. It's so bad. Just like it, plants. He looks like a panda. It doesn't even look like him.
Looks more like Anthony Fantano.
Yeah.
I know he posted that, but it looks so much like Anthony Fantano. Yeah. It doesn't look like Quavo.
Yeah. Have there been any albums that you guys like were interested in just because you liked the artwork and then like ended up really liking them?
Yeah. That's honestly how I find most of my new music. It's like the album art's like really important. Like not only can it like lead in and symbolize like what's going on. Like I know some of Bon Iver's albums, his most like recent one, like 22 a Million, has these like, they're so interesting. These little like designs, like there's like multiplication signs, like division signs, little drawings. And I know that like he's somebody with his music who puts like a lot of symbolism into that and into his songs too, so that's really cool. And then another one was King Cruel with I believe it was The Far Side of the Moon, that's totally wrong, never mind. Skip that. Yeah, but one of his earlier albums too has a lot of that like really cool design on it as well.
I gotta say, like couple years ago when I really started getting to like more popular indie music, like Tame Impala's Currents.
Yes. Oh, it's so
Tame
cool.
Impala, sorry. Yeah, that album artwork, I would just look at it, I'm like, whoa, that's so cool. And I check it out. I know like AM by the Arctic Monkeys. Mm-hmm. I always thought like AM, it was a cool cover because it's a sound wave, but in the center the sound wave breaks off and it forms an A and an M. For Arctic Monkeys.
So. I didn't notice that for so long.
Yeah, and then when you see it, like, it's all you can see. I remember the first time I noticed it was when I saw the Arctic Monkeys play in concert, and they had this huge sound waves lit up behind them, and for all of their songs, they only had the A and the M lit up, and then for, like, their big, like...
Do I want to know?
Yeah, when they played their really big songs, they lit it up, the whole thing.
And oh wait,
just to correct myself, King Cruel's album is called 6 Feet Beneath the Moon, so I wasn't that far off.
Another cool thing about the Arctic Monkeys, just like their first album, on the cover it's like a dude smoking a cigarette, and that was like the clear way to see who was like a fake fan of the Arctic Monkeys when I was like in eighth grade, because if you thought that guy was in the band, then you weren't knowledgeable because he was just some random dude. So I feel like album art can be.
Also, I have that album on vinyl, and on the front it's that picture, and then on the back it's just a shot of like hundreds of burnt cigarettes, which I think is really cool.
What are you saying? Oh, okay. We're gonna play some music now. I see. What do you want to play?
Waiting by Faith Healer. That's a good song. I'm gonna play it.
Okay, here it is. You're listening to We're on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM, and we'll be right back.
Is as good. been reading some old letters. You smile and think how much you've changed. All the money in the world couldn't buy back those days. You pull back your curtains and the sun burns into your eyes. You watch a plane flying across a clear blue sky.
Hello, hello, we are back. This is Word on the Street. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And let me paint a picture for you. You're walking down the street. You listen to Nirvana every day. You don't even listen to Nevermind or In Utero. You listen to Incesticide and MTV Unplugged. You're walking down the street. You see a guy. And on his shirt is the Nirvana happy face with the crossed eyes and the squiggly mouth. And you ask him what his favorite song is by Nirvana, and he says, "Who's Nirvana?" How do you feel about this?
Kill him.
Nirvana is my favorite brand, actually. So thank you, Hot Topic, for everything. No, I'm kidding. This is a huge pet peeve of mine, is going to anywhere, the mall or even like the movie theaters, and you see people wearing Nirvana leggings. And I know you were joking about the whole "Who's Nirvana?" comment, but I've had people make those comments to me. Mm-hmm. There's a huge like fad going on right now of combining album artwork with t-shirts and selling them in stores to try to look throwback and look retro. I knew a girl and she'd wear like Eddie Van Halen t-shirts, no idea what it even was, just like the logo. I had one girl and I asked her what her favorite album was of she got mad at me for it wasn't Pink Floyd, but it was, I can't, it'll come back to me. It was
Metallica? Queen?
Doesn't matter. Okay. But I asked her what her favorite album was, and she was so offended that I embarrassed her in front of all of her friends for asking what the band's, it was a Grateful Dead t-shirt. And I was like, do you like the Grateful Dead? And she's like, what? And I was like, can you name any of their songs? Like, what's your favorite song? And she got so offended that I embarrassed her and made her look like a fool. And I know, I'm a terrible human being.
No, I think that's great.
But I just, it's kind of my thing to do is just embarrass people and expose them. Because as personally, I don't like that whole like the fake fan buying the t-shirts because you like the design. I like to know the story behind what I'm wearing when it comes to albums, at least. Does anyone else feel that way, or is a shirt just a shirt?
I mean, I think it's definitely an interesting question of like, can you just appreciate the art that is on an album? I mean, that's, you know, kind of what artists are doing. And yeah, definitely like Unknown Pleasures by Joy Division is my go-to thought. I mean, we all know it. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Rolling Stone. The one with the sound waves that looks like a mountain. Yeah. Yeah. There are, I've seen, in fact, my friend actually made me a shirt that has that shirt on it, like as a shirt. It's probably, I don't wear it. But yeah, I do think it's an interesting kind of dilemma. And as much as I want to just say like, you know, wear art if you think it looks good, it does piss me off if someone's wearing, you know, my band on their shirt and they don't know any a band I like. I'm not an asshole.
Yeah, no, I just think it's funny that we were talking about apparel and embarrassment, especially with Gabe talking about, you know, embarrassing them. Gabe right now is wearing, I don't know, if you were in the studio right now, everyone, he's wearing a bumblebee hat right now. And we have someone wearing a half morph suit, like a green morph suit right now. And it's funny, we're just talking about apparel. It's funny. But this brought to my attention a meme that I saw, an old meme, if you're into memes, and it was, I think, a Kardashian wearing a band's shirt, and that band is a hard rock band. I don't.
Iron Maiden.
Was it Iron Maiden? Iron Maiden, and then the other picture is the Iron Maiden, someone from the band saying, you know, why are you wearing this shirt, you know? I don't support. Why are you supporting us? I don't want to be affiliated with you. And then he wore like Kill Kardashian.
Oh my god!
On his like a shirt with that on it while he was at a concert or playing for a show. I think it's funny how artists respond to that.
That's pretty extreme.
Like I get why people might get mad, and like personally, like I don't wear stuff unless I know what it is. But like it doesn't matter. Like I don't know. I don't think people. Okay, I don't think they're wearing it to appreciate the art either. I think it's just like, oh, this is trendy, and they sell it in Forever 21, so I'm gonna buy it. And like they
you
like
mean
the
Thrasher.
Aesthetic. Yeah, exactly. Thrasher and like people who don't skate. You know, there's like a lot of like I forget that Supreme started off as like a skate thing. You know, like mm-hmm. It's lost its meaning. But yeah, I don't think it really like people. Are, it doesn't affect the band. Like, why is Iron Maiden so extra? Like. They're getting free promo. Like, it doesn't matter.
It definitely doesn't affect the band, especially when their art is picked up on that grand a scale. Yeah. Like, certain bands, like the Rolling Stones, like, those lips, like, that's not even associated with the Rolling Stones anymore. It's just so popular in, like, almost every store that, like, young people shop at. There's a hoodie with these lips on it. Or you go to Urban Outfitters, and there's a Dark Side of the Moon t-shirt, and a Dark Side of the Moon hat, Dark Side of the Moon sweater, and they don't even know who Pink Floyd are.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, I just feel like if it was with smaller bands and like their art had been taken and like blown up into this big mainstream thing and they weren't getting credit for it, that would suck because they like the exposure would mean a lot for them. But like for these massive bands that are massive anyways and are gonna be legends and like well known and listened to regardless of what happens like with the trends, I feel like it doesn't really matter. It's not like they're getting really exploited. Like if it was like Winona Forever, like one of their album arts became like a thing in Forever 21 and everyone was wearing them for fashion and had no idea who they were, that'd be really sad because they're not getting the recognition they deserve. But all the band shirts that become trends already are like legendary bands and have all of the audiences like they could ever need. So I don't know.
I think that this notion of album art being on the t-shirt is sort of intertwined to the idea that albums themselves aren't really appreciated as much anymore. That whole thing where an album is more like a playlist now. I think it's kind of similar, that icon on the album or whatever it is, the image or the symbol, is now like less appreciated as it used to be. And I think that has a lot to do with how everything is distributed. Like, you can just look at a picture of that album with one click on your phone, or you can listen to it, or you can play any song from it. You know, the accessibility of it, I think that has a lot to do with why there's a value lost in the actual art, as opposed to just, okay, yes, this is music and you can listen to it, but at least in my opinion, even 15 years ago, the artwork was a lot more crucial, and the way that that was perceived in general was a lot more significant. It's not the same anymore.
I know, for one hand, like for myself especially, I only bought one band t-shirt, and I like ordered it like from Australia, and it was my favorite band. And the reason why, it's Hiatus Coyote. The reason why I got it was to that, it was to like express myself and to like show like the kind of art that I like to listen to. And I feel like that's the reason why a lot of us like buy like band t-shirts. So then when you see something that's just, the meaning's been taken away from it so that it's so commercialized, you see something that was once like a meaningful signal like going out in a lot of noise just become like distorted.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really similar to tattoos. You know,
yes,
people
retweet.
Yeah, I like being retweeted. It's my first retweet. With tattoos, you know, you put in so much thought, and you want to make sure the tattoo has all this meaning, and you're like, wow, this is so great. And then someone walks by and goes, hey, what's that tattoo? It's like, that's a cool rabbit. And for them, it has no attached meaning, and they just like it. Like it for the pattern. I think that's what's happening to t-shirts and merchandise too, you know. They just like it because it looks cool, not because of the meaning or anything attached to it.
Is there something wrong with getting tattoos?
Not at all. Not at all. I think Gabe's, he wants the mic.
I just got to say, I like how you bring up that side, like that point with tattoos, because we're on like a music panel here, and to a certain extent, we're all like music snobs, and I can go on and on about how much I hate people who wear band t-shirts that they bought in a store and not on a tour, because it doesn't mean as much to them. But it's interesting that you bring up tattoos, because everybody, like, the theory is you put in a lot of thought into your tattoos, and you want it to be representful of you, and you just don't want a fad tattoo. I actually do have a fad tattoo that I got a couple weeks ago, and I didn't put a lot of thought into it. My friend knocked on my dorm room and said, do you want a tattoo at 10 p.m. on a Sunday? And I said, sure. And we walked to someone's dorm and got a stick and poke, and I got a mountain, as every other like person in the world has.
Especially
it's
Vancouver.
On my thigh. And I've started a tally of talking to people about just counting all the people I see with my tattoo. I've had it for about 3 weeks, and I have 5 people I've met who all have the same tattoo of me on different sizes all over their body. So it's kind of interesting you say that, because at one point it doesn't matter about the art, it's just for fun. And we can judge people who buy sweaters and t-shirts in a store, but I can actually see their perspective when you put it that way. And it's kind of sad that I'm seeing it. I can understand it when they're buying a t-shirt, when in my point of view it's as simple as getting a tattoo, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it could be like analogous to the fact that like so much of our generation, and specifically the subculture associated with listening to alternative music, loves thrift shopping. And if you think about why that is, it's that there's so much like mass-produced stuff going on, like all the time. So it's nice to be able to assert that. And this
I'm sorry, I just really messed that up. Someone was coughing. It's fine. It's student radio. It's okay. Narwhal would be okay with what I just did. Anyway, just keep going. It's a mistake.
I'm sorry, that's my fault.
We cut off what you were saying.
Oh.
Yeah, say
I can
again.
Repeat that. So, basically, I was talking about how our generation also is really interested in thrift shopping, specifically this like subculture that goes with listening to alternative music, and it could be that like same thing that we're talking about with tattoos and band t-shirts. You just want to find some way to assert your individuality when everything else is so oversaturated.
There are so many examples other than band shirts with art or, you know, cover albums having meaning and having attached, you know, bands and songs and people having no idea and they just liking it for the way it looks. And I just want to make sure that people with tattoos out there, I like tattoos. Don't get me wrong. I was just drawing a comparison here. So if you have a tattoo, I think that's great. You know, good for you. I can't make that commitment. An example of, I think for me, band shirts or album covers on shirts is like famous artwork. You know, like, yeah, for example.
Andy Warhol.
Yeah, Andy Warhol. Everyone with the Campbell's condensed soup on their shirt, right? You don't, no one knows it's Andy Warhol. They just like soup.
I think people know it's Andy Warhol.
No, yeah, no, that was a bad example.
Well, it's here, so I just...
I think, like, I feel like music's the only time when people do that. Like, no one would... Okay, Isaac's wearing the Andy Warhol Campbell Soup shirt right now. No one would go up to him and be like, what are the other Andy Warhol things you like, you know? Like,
it's just That happened to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. He was like, This guy came up to me
on Main Street. He was like, hey, man, I like your Andy Warhol. Do you like his other work? I'm like, oh, man. I gotta go.
Marilyn, like, I don't know. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say just the same thing. A lot of people, they see that picture, they don't see Andy Warhol. A lot of people who don't know who he is, unfortunately, and would just say, oh, that's a cool picture of an old can of soup. So they think it's hip.
Or those sunflowers that Vincent van Gogh did. I see those everywhere, and no one usually that I meet with that kind of bag with the sunflowers on it or the shirt with it has any idea that it's Vincent van Gogh. They just like it because it's sunflowers. So I mean,
I think to me it's pretty obvious. Like, music fans are a lot more hardcore than like Van Gogh fans.
Absolutely.
So that's the thing. Like, it's not as much of a norm for someone who's a fan of Van Gogh or Picasso or something come up. What? I'm sorry, okay? I'm not Dutch, I'm sorry. To come up and say, okay, yeah, what do you like this painting he did? Oh, do you like this era? Like, it's just music fans are a lot more, you know, widespread. I think that's just the reason behind that. And I don't know if that'll really change. It's the same thing, like, I guess a more similar comparison is, like, something like a movie, like if you have a shirt that says like Pulp Fiction on it or something like that, that's when people are going to come up and also start asking you questions about it. So I mean, I think it's okay to wear a band shirt, but I feel like you should have at least some sort of an idea. I don't really know what the extent is. Like, I have a Red Hot Chili Peppers shirt and like I like Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I don't know like their whole discography, so like that's fine.
Yeah, and overall, it's just like at some point you just have to let people like what they like, and it's their risk that they're taking when they buy, you know, the Dark Side of the Moon shirt. I mean, I personally love that album, but I don't buy it because I don't need to show people how much I love it. I know I love it, and that's why I don't need to buy a shirt. But basically what I'm just trying to say here is if you buy something like this and you know you don't know anything about it, that's just the risk you're taking. You like it, and you buy it, and we can appreciate people that just like things for what they are. You like a song, you might not like the album cover. You like an album cover, you might not even like the album. But if you like something, I don't know. We can't really hit on that.
And a perfect example of that is that my little sister has a Dark Side of the Moon t-shirt. And she bought it from Brandy Melville. But the thing is, she's tried listening to the album. That's what's valiant about it. She listened to it once. I think that's what's important. Like, you try it, you like the design, and that's it. That's how it is. It's cool.
So I think it's safe to assume that the theme of this show is, you know, do what you want, and you know, don't worry about the judgments. If you like something, do it because you like it. You know, don't think
unless it harms others.
Unless it harms others, yes.
Or yourself.
Unless
you're into that.
So do what you like. You know, get that band shirt if you like it and you don't know it's a band. Just do it. You know, I support you.
So in other words, just go to Hot Topic and buy everything in the store. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, we're going to close it off here. We're going to play one more song. But before we play one more song, I was going to promote the guys after us. Radio Pizza Party. I don't know if they're out there. They have t-shirts. They're really cool. They're two funny guys. They're on from 6 to 7:30. Jack and Tristan. really nice guys. Check them out. They'll be on in about 7 minutes. And we're going to close off with a song. What are we going to close off with?
We're going to go old school, and we're going to play Redondo Beach by Patti Smith.
All right. Yeah?
Yeah, just for all you listeners out there, have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, thanks for listening to We're on the Street. I've been your host, Isaac, and we'll see you next week. This is CITR 101.9 FM. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Late afternoon, dreaming hotel. You just had to quarrel, sent you away. I was looking for you. Are you gone? Call you on the phone. Another dimension. Well, you never returned. Oh, you know what I mean. I went looking for you. Are you gone? Down by the ocean.
Jelly your roll already.